You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Today's guest says she and Job would have been best friends. Now, I want to meet this person and know her story. How about you? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee. Coffee stands for Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. I'm Kim Crable, always delighted to be your host and to be invited into your homes. You know that my goal is to find the people around the world who have stories that really do glorify God. And oh my goodness, have I discovered one in the guest that I'm going to introduce you today. She certainly knows losses, but oh my goodness, her faith has helped her walk through every loss that she has encountered. One of her statements that she said that just so overwhelmed my heart was she said that she has known a darkness so deep that only God could be seen in that darkness. Many of you may be walking through darkness now, and if you are, this is the show for you because this lady has a lot of hope to share. So it is my honor and my pleasure to welcome to Coffee today, author and speaker, Chrissy Whitten. Chrissy,
hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I feel like I'm just talking to an old friend, even though we've never met because I've read your story. I love your heart and I love your perseverance in believing that whatever comes your way, God is greater. So thank you for this. But before we get into your story, Chrissy, let's just talk about Chrissy for just a minute. Tell me, where are you right now? If I could step into your day, what would I see?
Chaos. No. I have a sixth grader and a third grader. And so it's a lot of craziness. I also do grief counseling in the schools. So that gets me, I kind of fill it in the holes when I can. And still trying to get, I just got book three out, which was a lot. It was supposed to come out December 31st, if that tells you where we're at. And it just finally, the KDP copy got released yesterday.
Well, congratulations. That's a big deal. Yes.
Writing a book, people always say, oh, I think I should write a book. I'm like, you just enjoy that ride. It's a lot of fun and it's expensive.
I know. I hear so many people with all good intentions going, you know, I should just write a book about that. And I think to myself, you really should, because it's probably worthy of a book, but don't think it's going to be as easy as
right.
It looks.
Well, I think God uses it as a healing process too for you, and you don't even know you're expecting it. Like even this, I'm in book four, I'm writing it. Like this is actually fresh stuff. A lot of things people haven't seen on some of it. And especially towards the end of the book, and even me watching a show on Netflix, on episode 10, I wanted to know if this couple was going to get together, if they were going to get to be happy. So I knew how it was going to go. It was like tragedy. And yeah. I thought, okay, here's how it goes. Well, then whenever it happened, I didn't know what it was going to do to me. So I literally cried for 45 minutes. Like God was just throwing the walls down around me that I needed to. And I realized just how much I've protected myself over all these years. I've hidden behind writing the books and trying, you know, and it's not like I've hidden. I haven't hidden God. I've let God shine bright. But I've kind of just been very extra protective and didn't realize it. So, you know, that's where I'm at now. God's still, my last book is called Triumph Over an Aching Heart. And boy, is He helping me be triumphant. But being triumphant means you have to do a lot of work and you have to go through a lot of heartache and a lot of crying, a lot of healing.
Yeah, there's no magic wand, is there? God could, You know, he could just snap his fingers and everything would be okay. But it's like you said, walking through the process is not only healing, but it's also revealing to other women and other men to see that they too can walk the path to healing. And so, well, thank you for all that. Where do you live?
I live in Tuttle, Oklahoma. So it's south of Oklahoma City.
Great. That's awesome. Well, it's very nice to meet you. And I just want to go ahead and dive into your story right now, because I feel that your story is will be very healing for a lot of my listeners. We have just the best audience in the world who join us from week to week, and they're real and they're authentic, and we share our hurts and our pains, and we look for ways to encourage one another, to stir up the gifts in one another, and to be able to walk through this life, like you said, glorifying God. So your story is definitely going to help a lot of people, Chrissy. So let's start with Lillian Grace. Tell us about Lillian Grace.
Lillian Grace, she's my first daughter, and she lived 103 days. Her first breath was supposed to be her last. I remember when the neuro, like the her heart doctor had told us, like when she was in the womb, they figured out she had, you know, six defects to the heart, and she was, her first breath was more than likely her last, and she even cried, the doctor did. And we had a lot of a long road that we had already been through anyways with the pregnancy. And then when Lillian came, for 103 days, God's light shined bright through her.
What was wrong?
She's a trisomy 18 baby, Edwards syndrome, and that's five times worse than what people know on the trisomy 21 Down syndrome. So she had six defects to the heart. Her branches for her respiratory wasn't fully developed. She came 8 weeks early too, which I honestly think that's why she got to stay longer, because something happens in that 8 weeks to the trisomy 18 babies that doesn't help. They don't have as good of a chance of living.
Right. So tell us, you know, I know that you've written a book, Journals from a Warrior's Mother. Why that title, and what do you reveal in there about your walk and her sweet little life? And may I just take the opportunity to take, I've never lost a child. I don't know what that kind of pain would be. I've come close. My second child wasn't supposed to live as well. And so I know the fear, the trepidation, the worry, the anxiety, the pain, the excruciating prayers. But I don't know that loss, but a lot of people, that are listening do know that loss. Yes. So walk us through some of that in this book you've written to help with the grief process.
So how it started was, so with a child dying, I feel like it's the worst loss that I've ever experienced. And my grandma, my last grandparent just died a little over a month ago. And that was hard too, but with Lily, I didn't get to see, I knew the potential, the things that I was hoping and dreaming for us. And then that, you know, her life was short. But it's not easy, because there's never a day I don't think about her. And I know everybody else, they live on with their life because it's not part of their everyday, like breathing. And it's a tough road to have to work through. And I've seen other moms and dads that I've had to go through whenever their child is older, and it's its own hard. All of it has its own things and that comes with it. No one has it worse off than the other. It's all bad. It's all hard, you know.
What were some of the ways that you, I know your faith is great. Was there a particular scripture? How did you navigate that, Chrissy? I know that's in your second book, I think, but just for those that are listening, let's just say there's someone, give us some practical, what are some things or passages, whatever, how did you navigate that? What would you say to someone who's fresh in this horrific hurt right now?
So whenever Lily first was born, I started writing Caring Bridge posts, journal entries. That's why the book's called Journals from a Warrior's Mother, the series is. And so my English lit teacher that I had growing up, she's the one that made me promise before she died of cancer that I needed to turn my journal entries into a book series. So that's how this actually started. And I made a promise. But when I was in the shop at the hospital, I was trying to just understand, like, God, why? I've had so much happen in my life. It's like there's always something. It's always a lot of things. And he gave me Ephesians 3:17-19. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So when he gave me that script, those scriptures, it just clicked. Like, I got it. Like, this is my opportunity to be a vessel for his light to shine bright and to further his kingdom. Like, I thought I was going to be a missionary. You know, when I was growing up, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to have to go clear overseas and do all these things and be where there's no, you know, and I never even thought that I could be a missionary right where I was. And so whenever that day happened, I told Michael, buckle up, because we're going to keep doing this, right? We're going to do it how God needs us to do. And every day is borrowed time, and we're going to celebrate her monthly birthdays. We're going to do what we need to. We're going to praise him. We're going to sing. We're going to dance. We're going to do it all. And my biggest thing for people is you have to focus on God. And if you don't have God, you don't have anything. And that's why Job made it through what he made it through. I mean, everybody else, all his friends and family said, you need to curse God and die. Well, guess what? That wasn't Job's purpose. Job's purpose was to know that he didn't need any of that. He didn't need any of the riches, the land, the people. He just needed God. That's all we ever need is God. So everything else is kind of just a bonus. You know, God's the ultimate prize. He's it. He's the one that's going to give you the strength, the power, the grace, the mercies.
I love everything you're saying, Chrissy, and I know that is you. Without one doubt. But what about, did you ever have any moments, and maybe you didn't, but did you ever have any moments when you had to battle for that faith to build?
Oh, with I lamented. I yelled at God.
I want our listeners to know that that's part of the healing process. Yeah. You know, so tell us about those moments and how God picked you up from those, because that grieving process of yelling and screaming and crying and beating the pillows, I mean, that's needed too, right?
Oh gosh, he wants everything. He wants all of us. Just like when you're in a relationship with someone that you love, you want all of it. You know, with your kids, you want to be everything for them and be able to help them through this life, right? And so those moments, I had a friend, she was Rachel Foley. She told me to count to three and scream as loud as I could in the car. Yes. And I was like, okay, so we did it. And that kind of set a precedent for me to know I can scream, I can yell, I can tell God I'm disappointed. I can tell him, I know that your plan is way better than mine, but by golly, I'm not liking it right now.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that is so important. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, we feel so much guilt, you know, when we're trying to do everything right. And that is not from God, to be able to release that to him and to say that to him. So many people say, oh, well, I can't tell God how I feel, as if it's a secret to him. You know,
I look at my kids and I think what I want for them to do for me, like, always tell me the truth. Always tell me when it's not working out. Always tell me when you're having second thoughts, when you're feeling lonely, when that's what God wants from us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know what I think is fascinating there, and I hope that because I'm a counselor, I'm always telling people, journal, journal, journal. It's such a healing process, right? Yes. My first book, Burdens of Blessings, which is just my heart, it's a transformational journey to healing, came from my journals, my journaling. The healing process came from my own healing. And so that book and that whole curriculum is based on how God walked me through that. And it sounds like that's exactly how your books are coming about. And so that's another reason for women and men to journal out their thoughts. Don't you agree?
Oh yeah. Because even looking back at, I luckily got to look at some of my old journals when I was growing up, because I used to be a lot better about journaling then. Yeah. And I just laugh because I can giggle looking back going, oh, if God would have answered that prayer, or if God would have let me stay with that person, or I, you know, my husband, he's not perfect, but I really do believe with all that I am that he's the only one that could have survived my, I really do think my journey, I would have had Lillian no matter what. Like, she was meant to be here and her story was meant to be here. Yes. And the only person that could have done it was who God gave me, my husband, Michael. So
you make me think of that song. What is it? That old country song is called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers.
Yes, seriously. I do. But knowing my journaling, because how many times do we think about like a million things and we don't remember what we're saying? Like I think whenever I was going back doing the books, when I first started getting really serious about it, because I had had them in a file, you know, I hadn't even put them in files. I had just had it on Caring Bridge. And before we moved to Tuttle 7 years ago, all of a sudden, Michael and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's usually my thing. That's when Lily kind of her last day here, she went downhill at that point. And it's like, God woke me up at three that morning before we were supposed to come meet with the builders. And I was like, oh my gosh, if Caring Bridge shuts down, I've lost everything. I have nothing saved anywhere. So, I mean, I was crazy woman, copying and pasting. And Michael comes in, he's like, oh boy, did God wake you up? I went, oh yeah, here's what happened. He went, you haven't saved any of that? I said, no. I've never saved.
Wow.
I put it into four different folders and, you know, Michael didn't even know that. And so when we're driving here and stuff, he said, hey, I just want you to know, I already have the title for your series and I have all four books. I'm like, four books? Why did you say four books? He said, because you're going to have four books in the series. I'm like, I'm listening, God, because this is not like my husband to be like to God to use him like that, you know. And so he said him. He said it all, like the fight is going to be your first book. Then you're going to have the fall to the climb. Then you're going to have the rainbows and brainstorms. And then it's going to be triumph over an aching heart. And they're all going to be under journals from a warrior's mother. And wow. I was just like, okay, I'm here, God. I'm not giving up no matter how hard this gets. And it has been hard because people always say, oh, I think I'll write a book. And I'm like, I don't want to discourage anyone to ever do, especially if it's God means like he has meant for you to do it, but it is not easy. It's one of those things. I always put myself in everyone's shoes. Like I always used to say, oh, thank you, God. I'm glad I don't have to do that job because it's hard, you know, kind of thing. And people would be like, why are you saying that? I'm like, because I do not want to ever have, I'm glad I didn't get called to do that.
Yes. Writing is a very isolating and it's very, I think it was Mark Twain that said, I hate the process of writing, but I love being known as a writer. So, you know, it's a very difficult thing. And I'm in the process of writing something now. And I told my husband, I said, oh, I walked through and I said, oh, I hate this process, but I love being a writer.
So I've thrown books, I've thrown my manuscripts that I had printed and bound just so I could have it all together because I was tired of it all. If I dropped it, it would go everywhere and I'd try to figure out how the order was. And I was like, okay. So I've thrown the manuscript a whole bunch. Like, I don't want to do this today, God. I don't want to process. I don't want to go through it again. I don't want to have to deal with it because when I first got here, I would ride the recumbent bike. And in this, in our little gym, it's like a little gym, and I would write and I'd have that manuscript and I would just be bawling my eyes out in public. And I'm like, I didn't know I was going to be doing that. And it was just like, oh my gosh, because usually I can kind of keep it together. But nowadays it's like, when you see me crying, I'm crying. I can't stop it. It's like, it's coming.
Well, it's like you said, it's healing. And for anyone who's listening today, we don't want to discourage you from writing. It is an act of obedience, right?
It is
an act of obedience that once it's done, I mean, it is healing. You process in a different way and you're documenting your journey for those who will come behind you. So Chrissy, I know we're soon running out of time.
Yes.
So I really want to get to your book, your next book. Well, before we do that, I want to talk about your second child that I don't have the name.
Piper. It's Piper Allegra.
Piper. And tell us about Piper.
So Piper is kind of my twin. It's fun to watch her play out. And it's like, oh man, that is why, you know, I'm a rainbow baby too. She's a rainbow baby. I came after my parents had a big loss. And then Piper came the year after Lillian. And so I feel like she's just, God makes us a little extra, you know, where we can empathize, sympathize. We don't think like everybody else because we need to see things that people don't normally see so we can be there for him. And I remember one time, Piper, I can't even remember if she was like two or three, but we were at the mall and this lady, I could tell she was behind the makeup counter and she was crying. And I was like, oh God, could I go? I'm tired. Like I was being ridiculous and selfish. And I was like, I don't want to know or do. I was having a bad day, a Lily day that I was grieving and I was trying to be there present with Piper. And all of a sudden Piper gets out of her stroller and goes to the woman and hugs her. And I'm like,
oh,
thanks God. Cause I knew I was supposed to be doing that, but that's when he taught me, if you don't do it, somebody else will. And I don't want that to happen. I know it has to happen some, but I don't want it to be when he really wants me to do it.
Now, Piper was born with an illness, right?
No, she came. We were in a car wreck and a car accident. And I was hit from behind. I lost half my amniotic fluid within the week, and no one knew. I just knew something was wrong. And right. So she was great. Now, my third daughter that came, I had brain surgery when Piper was 2 years old. And okay. I had 1% chance of dying if I didn't do the surgery and 10% if I did. And then 4 months later, I got pregnant with Daphne Mae, my third daughter. And she ended up, she went full term. But when we were in the hospital, my doctor had changed my medicine. And I was breastfeeding and fell asleep. Well, they didn't have the rail up, and my husband was asleep. So she ended up on the floor less than 24 hours later. So I ended up in the room next door where Lily died in the PICU. So it was just, but that was my, God needed that to happen so I could heal a different part of me. There's so much. Sorry. It's a lot.
No, it is. It is. Can't tell me. For some reason in my notes, and like I said, and we had said before, we've never actually met. And so for some reason, I was thinking that Piper had the tumor, but it wasn't. It was you.
I had a brain tumor in the pineal gland. It was a quarter size. And we found it probably, I think, when Piper was 15 months old. They thought it was just a cyst, but I was blacking out. Like Michael, finally, I ended up face down in the kitchen when he came home, and Piper was just patting me, and she didn't know what to do because she's not even two yet, at that point. Right. And so I was like, we got to figure this isn't something's wrong. And right. So then ended up, I literally met my neurosurgeon on a Thursday and he did my brain surgery on Tuesday. It was insane.
It's amazing what they can do now. You're healthy now?
I'm here. I have a lot of things I still have to deal with, but you can't tell it until I'm stressed and then it comes out. I have short-term memory loss. I do have pain where my surgery sites are. I have right here where they cut into me, and back here I have a metal plate. So there's things. I've always, even after Lily died, I've had to remember God had me go through it and he got me through it, but I'm not going to be the same as I was before. And I have to accept that and learn who the new me is in that, because it's a transformation, because you have been put in the fire and he's burning away those impurities, right? Yes. And so you don't have all those safety things you thought, insecurities, because you don't need those. They weren't good for you. They were false, And so when you get those melted away, then you have to kind of get used to who you are. It's kind of like if you break your, wrist, it's never going to be the same.
Right.
But it's still workable. It's just, you got to adapt. And so I've had to do a lot of adapting.
Well, it's not going to be the same, but with a break, when it does heal, it's stronger in that one area, right? So you're stronger. Does that mean you're stronger? What God is doing in and through you because of the wounds and the things that you've gone through. And isn't that a great lesson to leave with our audience today, Chrissy, is that the things that we've gone through really don't have to make us weaker, that we can, using God's glory, it could be our shining light. It makes us who we are. And
I always tell anyone, no matter what they're going through, you can let your circumstances sink you down and keep you where you're at, where you're stuck, or you can let it catapult you into the future. Yeah. But you have to be willing to look. And they always, you know, this big thing on joy, you know, joy comes in the morning. Well, guess what? Joy comes when you look through God's viewpoint.
Yes.
That's how the joy comes. It's not because everything else isn't great. Like, it's not. I'm going to be real. It's not fun. But that joy is because you're looking at what He has a purpose for it. And when you can see that, it's worth the pain and suffering. Like, knowing that God was going to use this and people were dropping to their knees in prayer and that they were drawing closer to Him, and that the things I didn't even know I was going to be doing and running races and writing books and all of it. It's been amazing to know that He still has more, you know, not just this book series, but I'm going to have a kid's little series that's 25 pages a piece that's going to help train. It's like they're filled journals from the characters that were her nicknames. And they'll have a verse with it and everything.
That is amazing, Chrissy. What an inspiration you are, and what a delight it is to meet you. I love your heart. I love your perseverance. I love your tenacity. Each and every one of us, and listeners, I hope, and those who are seeing and those who are listening on radio, I hope that you'll just stop and ask yourself, you know, how can I grow in that perseverance and that tenacity? Because we can't give up, can we, Chrissy? We can't. Nope. No matter what happens, God has said, you know, we are to press on, to carry on. So we have 2 minutes left, Chrissy.
Okay.
Give me a verse that, do you have a life verse that you'd like to leave with us?
Well, I have these have been some new ones that have really helped me. This one is 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So in life, our purpose, we're a vessel. And if we can see that and know that when God's having us go through things, it's either to heal us, prepare us for what might be, or just for us to help someone else. It may not even be about us. Like we have a family in Tuttle right now that's going through some, I mean, it was an accident, and it was it's not fun. But getting to see that family, I've been praying, God, I know I want to speak, and I say a lot of things, because I have so much to share and so much to say, but I've just been praying that God would help them with a 24-hour setup, carrying bridge, so they can share the information so it's less work on them. So they can, you know, know that they've got people around them and to help. I know they may not even know what they need right now, but to put people in there that would know. But what's cool is they've gotten to celebrate birthdays with nurses. They've gotten to be a prayer warriors for other people that are in there. And guess what? Sometimes when we're going through bad things, it's so we can be in the battlefield. And how do you get on the battlefield? It's not like I couldn't go right now and go help with war because I haven't prepared or anything. But somehow God gets you there. And it may not be how we like it. But if you wake up and realize, oh my, I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the battlefield. And I wouldn't be here if I wasn't going through what I'm going through.
I heard Chrissy one time. I always think about it. You talk about, well, we'll close on this. We were talking about you thought you were going to be on the mission field. One of the things I teach women or try to share with women anytime I'm with them is that I'll tell them, look down at your feet. Wherever your feet are, that's your mission field. Yes. Wherever that is, that's your mission field. I'm going to end on something that you wrote in the notes that I think is just so important. One of the things was talking about seeing God in the darkness. I love that. But this is something that you wrote in your notes. And listeners, I hope that you'll listen to this. I love this. Chrissy says, God is always with you. Don't pray. Don't pray away the hard stuff. I love this. Don't pray away the hard stuff because it may be your healing. Or it may be you helping or preparing someone else from their past, present, or future. Showing others the unconditional love right where you are is really allowing God to shine through us. Chrissy, I love your heart. I thank you so much for joining us. We will be putting your books out, your pictures of everything on here so that people can go to it. We'll be running your website across here. We will let people know about you so that you can continue to share your story for God's glory. Thank you, my friend, so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. I told you Chrissy's story was going to just inspire you. You know, we know that in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but God says, take heart, for I've overcome it all. So keep doing what you're doing. Press on. Grab Chrissy's books. More than anything, make sure that you grab onto Christ and his promises and build upon that relationship with him. He says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. What a beautiful way to close out this show today. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrables.org. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrables.org.